This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How sweet the sound.
The Bible say, yea, though she walked in the valley with the shadow of Little Red Riding Hood and the three bears, she feared no evil, because the three little pigs was not around.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How you doing, baby?
I'm okay.
Well, you look bad.
We here because your dad is dead. Now I'll be coordinating the funeral. I hope y'all can appreciate what I'm going to try to do.
And if you need anything, just let us know.
I know it's about funerals. I done buried a lot of men. A lot of them.
That funeral's going to be messed up.
Are you ready for a miracle?
You're about to get shocked. This is the church. If you come up here with that bull, I don't mind busting you in your face. Don't ask Jesus to forgive me.
Oh, my God.
I'm a real thug. I'm an O-G-M-A-D-E-A.
Are you ready for a miracle?
We're sorry. Apparently, he was taking some sort of stimulant. We're having some trouble keeping it down.
I want to know if he's an organ donor.
Episode of our third season. We're working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the first time with the help of Perry scholars, super fans, and sometimes people who have contributed. This season will only be 15 episodes, but that's up from 10, so it's a win for everybody. And today we've experienced the final, and I didn't realize that it was the final installment of the Madea series.
Madea, it's fairly recent.
It's very recent, 2019, a Madea family funeral. And we'll be watching more movies, and I guess maybe more TV shows in the weeks to come.
I can't believe we only have two episodes after this. This has been the fastest thing that's ever happened. It's been so fun. I mean, and I also can't wait to talk about this movie because I have a lot of opinions about this movie. But a Madea family funeral, if anyone wants to watch before you listen, it's available with subscriptions on Philo and BET Plus and Hulu. You can also watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. Obviously, we're going to spoil it all, so watch it first if you want to avoid that. Before we bring out our guest, Nicole, thoughts?
Okay, I did not give a shit about any of the people who weren't Tyler Perry or those two little old ladies.
Oh my God, I loved how everyone in the movie is the same age, but they all are just playing different ages. This movie, I felt like could have been a short film.
Yes.
They repeated themselves so many times.
So many times. Also, like a lot of Tyler Perry's gags, he loves a car swerving.
It's all he wants to do. It's all he wants to do. And I mean, he had some other, I don't know if I can't remember the character's name now, who is the guy who talks out of his neck.
No, that's Heathrow.
Heathrow. I wonder if he's in other films or if this was his first appearance, because that's a strong move. And he comes in 2 minutes in and I was like, this is good. This is a good sign. But then, you know, the drama was like, it was higher. I don't know.
Too much drama. It was too many things. I didn't really know who anybody was. I had to keep stopping and being like, wait, who is this person?
I had to, like, I needed a family tree again. I was truly like, what is the relation? Why is it bad that he's with her? Like, who's that? Like, it was just.
But why was he hiding Aunt Bam and Hattie Mae Love? They are two very funny people that I don't know where they belong in the grand scheme of the Tyler Perry universe.
Well, I looked up Hattie, and she is like that character in like 100 things that he's done.
Oh.
So like that's her main resume, is like that character. She's like a beautiful young woman playing this
That's okay. I guess that's like my main complaint. I'm like, Tyler Perry, why can't you get an old woman to play an old woman? And you could get a paraplegic or someone without legs to do that part. Like, I was happy to see it because I was like, yes, you know, diverse people being funny. But I'm like, just get the person.
But it also felt like there's a lot of like disparaging comments surrounding that felt outdated. Well, let's bring our guest out. Do you want to intro? Shall I intro?
Ooh, I'll intro. Okay, I'm so excited for this person. This person's a comedian, an actress, a writer. You can see them on ABC's Home Economics, Hulu's Woke. Also, she's the co-host of a little podcast called Best Friends with a little person named Nicole Byer. That's me. It's the Shears of Data!
Yes! Hello, it's me. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I can't believe you just talked about all this stuff. I was like, I want to jump in and have things to say about this.
Much like this film, we're going to go over it again and again.
Okay, great.
There will be plenty of time. So what is your experience with Tyler Perry before this? Have you seen a lot of his stuff, or is this kind of the first, or where are you at?
My knowledge of his movies was peripheral. Like, my family watches some of his stuff, so sometimes it's been on when I've been in someone's home, and like I've seen scenes and been like, wow, this is wild. And then like, but not watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a couple years ago, I was in Atlanta shooting and my mom was there and I wanted to find something for us to do. And Tyler was doing his farewell tour, like of his live shows. This is going to be the last run of him performing as Madea live. And I was like, oh, we should probably go see that. And we saw it and I had like no expectations. I was like, okay, we'll see what this is like. I was sobbing. I was laughing. I was guffawing. I was slapping my knee. I was singing. It was amazing.
I was singing.
It was amazing. It was a gospel concert. It was a morality play. It was a soap opera. It was everything. And I was not expecting to enjoy it that much, but I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was so fun. And that's, I was like, I can see why this ran for so long.
Yes, that's so similar to our experience watching these movies, because you can't put them in a box. You think it's going to be like really goofy, and then you're sobbing at some funeral like 5 minutes later. I mean, it's like, it's all over the place. And that's part of what's so impressive, but it's also like his downfall at times. But I feel like live would just be a blast.
So wait, what you saw was not Madea's funeral. This is the end of the movies. And then do you remember the name of the play you saw?
I think it was The Farewell Tour or something.
Oh, okay.
That. I think the stage shows have had different stories, but I don't actually know if those became movies. I think that might
some
be a
of them
separate
have.
Thing. Oh yeah.
Well, Diary of a Mad Black Woman was a play. Oh shit. I used to know more. Yeah. I think almost all of them used to be plays, except for one that we watched, maybe Madea's Holiday wasn't a play first.
Yeah, well, we found that the ones that were plays are the most solid because they're like tested with an audience. Like he's got a really strong story. And then the ones that are kind of like he's just clacking away on the typewriter, you know, you can kind of tell.
Oh, yeah, the one I saw, I honestly can't even really tell you the story. I really don't remember what happened. I know there were a lot of people on stage. And then our favorite characters were there being great.
That's all you need.
And then I can't remember what else happened. Someone got cheated on, of course. Someone needed to leave somebody else. There were secrets were had.
Mm-hmm. That's Tyler, this movie that we watched with the drama around the cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating is like the main point of this movie.
Yes.
And some of the like reactions of like the younger people who are cheating are like so over the top. I mean, like the whole thing, I'm excited to break down the whole thing, but like, When I have to look up the character's name because I didn't clock anybody's name the entire time.
That's a 14 characters. Where he's like, and nobody will say anyone's name out loud.
No,
I got through half of the Oval before I knew everyone's name. And then spoiler, he just starts murdering everybody.
My God.
Everybody you've ever liked is going to be found under a bed dead.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you guys if this family from this movie was in other movies. Is this following the same family throughout?
No, there's different families in Family Reunion. There's a different family in, what was the other one that's like Big Happy Family maybe?
But Madea is related to all of them.
Somehow right? She's related to every single person in America.
Because like Madea, like, so Brian, who we pieced together last week, I think, is Tyler Perry's like neutral character, Brian.
Uh-huh.
He's in a bunch of movies as Brian. And he is Uncle Joe's son.
Yes.
And Madea is his aunt.
Yes.
And that's, honestly, I'm amazed that I was just able to.
I mean, it's incredible. It's very hard to follow. And then I'm like, who is Heathrow? So but Heathrow is
a new brother?
Joe's brother.
Oh, so then it's Madea's brother too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. But like, surprise.
But that is a surprise because we don't know anything about him. And Joe also always seems like he's sitting on Madea. Even when they're like fighting, I'm like, they have sex, right? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think so. It seems as such. Also, Brian in this movie he was more hokey than I've ever seen him.
He was so, like, I almost want to say he was so neutral that it was almost nothing.
Yes.
Like it was like,
but then
it
in
was,
that cop scene, it was like he was saying things like, "I was perturbed."
Yes,
I did not enjoy this experience, and I was like, "Now you're not even a human anymore."
That was so odd.
It was
that bizarre. That scene went on for 45 minutes.
Too
like,
long.
I was like, "You can
Every
mind
scene felt
this?
Really
oh
long.
My god." Totally. Like, because there's so much just repeating. Like, I feel like in the car, in the cop scene, like, they're just saying over and over. Everyone is saying their perspective over and over again.
Yes.
And then, like, the cop even takes, like, an hour to come up to the window. And it was like, this is just, like, get to it. Like, I get what you're doing. But oh, and the character I was going to say before is AJ, who's the one who cheated and with the brother's fiance or wife or whatever. And when he gets called out at the end, he's, like, so, like, mad and devastated or something.
He was mad 100% of the time. Uh-huh. I didn't know he and Carol were married. Like when he walked in, they were both yelling at each other that I thought they were siblings or like
me
brother
too.
And sister-in-law.
Yes.
And then they were in the bedroom together and I was like, what's happening?
I rewound it. I had to go back to the first scene and be like, wait, what's the dynamic? Because I was so confused by everyone who was put into a bedroom together that I just didn't understand.
And all of the younger men all looked alike.
They
so
really
like,
did.
So, Will looked like AJ, who looked like Jesse.
Which, honestly, when you're cheating on people and you're having an affair, it's like, you got to make people look different because I'm supposed to understand this is bad right away. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, that was, so I had a really hard time keeping track of who was a sister, who was a lover. Who should I care about? And then even Renee, who's the one who cheats with the dad, which, by the way, there's just so much to unpack there. Because she's just like a family friend is how she's like described.
She was their friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then also, like, so, wait, what's the son's name? AJ?
AJ's the one who was cheating. And
who was
the other
cheating, but
Jesse.
Then heard his dad having sex and was like, that's my daddy. And I was like, ew.
Or was it Jesse who found
also,
him? Oh, AJ found him because he was mad at Renee. Yeah.
Yes.
But I also remember, also because the sex sounds didn't sound like sex. I thought someone was moving furniture. It was just like, and then
it was super
and then
unclear.
Like, oh, Anthony. And I was like, okay, I guess that's how he knows it's his dad because he's hearing old man grunts in the name Anthony.
And then she was wearing like a full dominatrix outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is a choice.
And they stand there for so long when there's a dead body.
And then Brian's finally, like, he's not breathing.
And it's like, almost like it just hits him. Like 5 minutes into like looking into the room, he's like, wait, he's like, not breathing. Oh. Like, you might want to do
something.
But I guess
they're also describing a crazy scene. They must be, like, they're like, there's a ball gag. There's whips. There's this. And they're also not showing us anything. So
that was the strangest choice.
I wanted to see it so bad. Why do we not see any of that?
I don't know.
Can that be disrespectful to the dead?
Yeah, right?
But
I mean, he's dead and he can open caskets. So, like, what?
With his boner, by the way, which was, like,
oh,
so...
Oh, my God.
The boner knocking against the casket and popping it open 10 times. My God.
But I will say Madea fighting with the casket made me laugh very hard.
My mouth was... agape the whole time.
I feel like other Madea movies have made me like laugh really hard. This one I was more just like, huh, like a lot of the time. Yeah.
Should we get into our news Madea? News media. Okay, so Tyler Perry celebrated a new biographical documentary.
Oh!
A new biographical documentary on Tyler Perry's life and career has been released. Where?
We have to watch this.
So the film's logline reads, despite humble beginnings, Tyler Perry established a successful career as a writer, director, and producer for stage, television, and film. Perry's acclaimed work has led to international stardom making. Is he international? I wonder... if his movies sell well internationally. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I'd be curious.
Making him Hollywood's highest paid man, Tyler Perry, Man of Many Faces, is available on Roku channel and Google Play as of June 1st. Ooh, it's hot and fresh right off the documentary oven.
Why do I not know about this?
I don't know. It's the same reason why, like, I didn't realize how many Tyler Perry movies there are. Like, people aren't talking about him the way they should be.
They really aren't. Like, I feel like every time we have a news Madea segment, it's completely news to me, except for when he was on the Oscars. But like, I don't hear about any of this stuff. And yet he's doing all this huge stuff all the time. And this feels like also, why is it on Roku and Google Play? That's also like a random place to access it. Don't you think?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of his stuff is kind of on random, like, The Oval's on BET Plus, but I don't know if it's on like regular BET. Maybe it's just I don't know. I'm obsessed with The Oval.
We weren't sure about that because that show was that the one that had a lot of nudity? Wasn't there like something? Or like the sex scene was like really real?
Oh no, that was Ruthless. Oh. So Ruthless, the spinoff of one storyline of The Oval where we still don't, I am on the second season and we still don't know where this little girl is, but you got to watch the spinoff Ruthless to find out where she's at.
He was like, we are giving you a different show. If you care about that character, she's gone.
You'll never fucking see her here again.
We're not going to answer any questions in this show.
So the first scene is this like hardcore sex scene that I was like, oh,
it hooked us both.
Ooh. But then it lost us, you know, pretty quickly. Cause there was only one sex scene
And then I'm like, you know,
interesting
yelling at women.
Like, if we're going to have a sex scene, we're going to get it all out in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break really quick and we'll be right back. We're going to jump into a Madea family funeral. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Okay. Boy.
This movie was written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry. It was released March 1st, 2019. And I think we should jump into this plot because it's juicy. There's a lot here.
Okay, so Vivian and Anthony's children, Sylvia, AJ, and Jesse, are planning a surprise party to celebrate their parents' 40th wedding anniversary. While preparing everything, Jesse...
Pause, by the way. This scene... This is the first minute and I'm confused.
Same.
I honestly was. And everyone was being so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone was being so nice that it was like, I've never seen a family interact this way. Like everyone was like, this
very
is going to be so great. I'm mm-hmm. so excited. We yeah. got a cake, like whatever. It was just like, and so
thanks for helping Renee. You always help our parents.
Cut to, she kills the dad by fucking him. But yeah, it's like, it's a weird way to start. Okay, continue.
It is very weird. And also goes on for a long time and nothing is said. It's just like, hello, yeah. I love you. Oh, yes, I love you. This is great.
And people keep coming in and they don't say who
they are.
No.
So yeah, that's part of why it was so confusing. And even when I rewound to try to figure it out, I still was like, I can't tell.
Yeah, I watched the beginning, I think, 3 times because I was like, what the fuck? Okay, while preparing everything, Jesse tells Sylvia and AJ's wife, Carol, that he's engaged to his girlfriend, Gia, and Carol is displeased. Vivian's best friend, Renee, helps him set up and tells him she would do anything for their parents. When they ask who'll be in charge of the cake, their uncle Heathrow tells them that he has it covered, despite their hesitancy. Heathrow is Medea and Joe's brother.
It's so funny for this summary to just say, their uncle Heathrow says he has it covered. It's like, okay, no, what happens is Tyler Perry scoots in with no legs in a wheelchair and is talking through his throat with a voice modulator thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That if he takes it away, he cannot be heard.
Yeah. And he is also half bald with a very long jerry curled, like, it's like he has a half up, half up ponytail, but like shaved the ponytail part.
Yes. And he's missing key teeth. He has
so,
like,
many teeth. I think he only has one good tooth.
Yeah. When he rolled in, I was like, can he do this? Is this okay? I don't know. Are you allowed to do this? This is 2019.
I know.
That's where I felt the same way. I was like, okay, well, it's absurd, which is what I like with Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. I like when he gets like really crazy. But then I was like, this character is so, I mean, it is probably offensive on a handful of levels.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he changes the room like so much with his presence. Like he comes in and he's just like in a sketch show. Like he's just doing something completely different.
It's all normal until he enters the room.
Yeah. Very and that's kind grounded of like, performances. And then, boy, Heathrow is, it's like if someone kept throwing like a wrench into a room while you're having a conversation, you're like, why? Yeah. What? Why? That's, I mean, it's loud. Why?
I gotta applaud the actors. They did a really great job of just really dealing with some insane characters.
But
most of their job was sitting around watching the Medea talk, Tyler Perry talk to himself over and over again. And then they go, hey, now, stop that. And then more of the same.
Yes. I gotta
say,
you should watch Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Only I can just pull the scene for you. Kimberly Elise sits there stone-faced as Tyler Perry types in a computer in the funniest way I've ever seen a person type on a computer, a calculator. Oh boy. But that's like what he asks people to do. He's like, I'm gonna be a Looney Tune and I need you to just be normal.
It feels like it'd be more fun when it's just you and one of his characters. But then the scenes where there's like four Tyler Perrys, where then you know there's like stand-ins sitting there for each of them.
Yeah.
It's like it would feel like nothing is happening. Like, you know, and then because I feel like because he's directing himself and you see it sometimes in the bloopers, it's like he's having fun. Then he stops it. Then he's doing something else and he's having fun and he stops it. So it's like, you're kind of just like a witness.
Yeah.
You're just watching this man have a nice time with himself.
You're just an extra at that point.
So, okay. What is it? Vianne? I don't remember how they said that.
It's Vivian. Oh, I guess it's not Vivian. That's what I was calling her. Vianne.
I don't remember how they said it, but. And Anthony, okay. They show up too early to the party and the kids send them away. Vianne heads to do work at the church and Anthony says he needs to do some shopping. Okay, so
No, it was just weird. I was like, okay. Like, why not go somewhere together? I don't know. It was just it seemed very pointed that I was like, oh, okay, so something is going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's just for the audience to be like, wait, he said he was going shopping and then he didn't. So
and you only see him for like 1 second. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of why I would have liked to have seen him with the ball gag and stuff.
Yes. It was
just more like continuing like that. It's kind of even funnier that a man that you only saw in one scene is then dead with that situation. Like that makes it interesting. Yeah.
Maybe they forgot to like book him that day. They were just like, oh,
my God.
Right. I would not be surprised if that was part of it. They're like, we're moving so fast. He's not here. Just go. We don't need to show it.
Well, yeah, because then that one short woman jumped on the bed to like maybe suck his dick so he could come back to life or whatever that was. That whatever body was laying there did not look like his body.
No.
Which made it more confusing.
Yes. But, like, I don't know who these people are. So, like, so is AJ in the family? Whose dad is this?
Right. And that was such an insane thing. I mean, that character is so funny. Hattie, the little old woman. But then she like jumps on the couch and they're like, that's not his mouth. It's like, it's crazy. Like what, she's going to suck a dead person's dick? Like this is insane. And like, what is her problem?
I guess in like, as a pitch, oh my God, that's so funny. But like, in actuality, when you say it out loud, it's like, you're going to suck a dead man's dick. Like, that sounds so terrible.
Also with Patty, in the beginning, at some point when they're like waiting to be picked up, she said something like, she gave her husband antifreeze to kill him, and then they moved on. She killed her husband and maybe two more. And then they were just like, oh, Hattie, let's get in Brian's car. And I was like, wait, hold on.
No one cares about anything like that in his movies. Like,
they sure
you could
don't.
Truly say the most insane thing, and then they're just like, anyway. And I wonder if it's improvised or if that's like actually
in
the script.
I think it's improvised. And then Tyler's like, that's funny, leave it in. And you're like, but that's crazy that this woman confessed to murdering her husband.
And it's part of what's like what's lacking with the improv is like it would be more fun to watch them react for real and have to deal with that and then get distracted by the cop or whatever it is and move on. Like,
right.
There could be so much more humor there. Mm-hmm. But like instead, it's just these weird.
They also don't care that Aunt Bam has to pee a little. Like, she's like, is there going to be bathrooms on the way? And they're like, oh, fuck you.
I know.
Just a drop. It's like she's old.
Yeah, she's gonna have to pee. So maybe she should have taken that diaper.
Yeah, and then she did pee like 9 times.
Brian drives Medea, Joe, Aunt Bam, and their friend Hattie to the anniversary party since they're all relatives. Wait, they are?
I gotta work this out.
I don't think Hattie and Bam are. Right?
I don't think so either.
Huh. I don't know.
Because Joe made it sound like he definitely fucked Bam.
And Hattie wanted to suck Anthony's dick, so she's not related to him.
Yeah, I really hope they're not related.
Who knows? On the way, they deal with a manic, rude police officer.
To say the least. Okay, that scene was absolutely insane.
It was stressful. So nice.
It was so stressful. Yes. They're talking about how they might get, or, you know, Uncle Joe keeps saying that Brian's going to get shot for dealing with the cop.
Uh-huh.
They don't, like, Brian's complying, but like everyone wants him to drive away. And then the cop takes forever to get out of his car, and then when he comes over, he's basically like an insane freak who's like screaming and telling him. And I think, you know what, it, you know what my problem with it was, it's like I think it would have been funny if the person who was the cop was like less scary.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He was actually so aggressive that it was like not fun. But then he's telling him like, open the glove compartment with your left pinky or whatever, which is like that, you know, it's a funny thing you can't do, that you can't do what he's saying.
Yes.
But it wasn't funny. It was just scary.
Yeah. I think if he was friendlier and then asking him to do ridiculous things, I think that might have been a better commentary as opposed to just like showing what happens before someone gets shot.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That was just actually what happens. And it was really scary and stressful.
Yeah.
And
I
then
didn't
he
like
goes
it.
Away and checks Brian's ID. And then I guess comes back and finds out that Brian was a pastor or something. Wait, what was it?
But I guess they were like, they found out what Brian does for a living. But I was like, that's not on your driver's license.
No. And even Googling.
It's not.
No.
Wait, but so what does he do for a living? He's a pastor?
No, he's a lawyer.
Because I thought it was like he was religious or something. Because they said like,
God bless
you. Was something religious or something. But
no, I'm pretty sure he's a lawyer because he got Medea off and Medea goes to jail.
Right. He was her lawyer.
It is so hard to follow. Yeah, why didn't they just say, oh, they must know you're like, maybe he's like the district attorney or something. And it's like, just say that.
They just said your job. Right. Yeah, why didn't they say what the actual job was?
Probably because Tyler Perry doesn't know what his actual job is. He's like, I don't know what Brian
does. Let's keep it vague.
Yeah, and even if Brian's never had an encounter with the police before, I don't believe he would react this way. I don't believe he'd be so oblivious and dumbfounded and be like, I'm having a really bad experience right now. Well, what in the world is this? Now, this is not how you talk to people. Okay,
it was so weird.
You know that this has happened to other people.
Bizarre.
That felt like this scene could have really used a tight script, and it felt like they really
especially
didn't have one.
It's a sensitive scene.
Yeah, totally.
That's what you gotta take care with that.
And Medea's like, because I feel like you can see him having fun with himself. That like the improvised moments. So then they're trying to what I think is happening is like Madea improvises something, mm-hmm. and then Brian has to say something that makes sense for like everything Madea has said. Mm-hmm. But so then it kind of is like they kind of go back and forth having a very boring conversation uh-huh. because it's like, yes, you did say that. Yes, I did. Okay. You know, like there's nothing being added. Mm-hmm. And I would have really, I think that scene could have been half the length and like way more effective if they just like knew what everyone was trying to get
yes. out. But I think yeah. he's just moving too fast and he doesn't have, you know, everything fully scripted. Oh, so Aunt Bam is Medea's cousin and Hattie Mae is just her partner in crime. Okay.
I'm still confused.
Boy, I mean, Medea truly has just the biggest family maybe in the world. It's so big.
She has so many like core families. Like every movie has like a different family that's like got a whole, you know, she's deeply involved with.
It's yes.
like, I don't know how it's yeah, possible.
She spends a different holiday with a different family.
You know what I got to say about this movie? It feels as if Tyler Perry has not evolved his movies to now. Like this movie felt the same as Diary of a Mad Black Woman that was 10 years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel current in any sort of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do think that cop scene was an attempt at that because, you know, in 2018, 19, I mean, all years, but also we were definitely dealing with a lot more frequent like yes. videos of people getting murdered by police officers. So I think that was a way to address that, but not. There was actually no point, like nothing. No, who learned a lesson after that? Like who?
Nobody, because Brian got away because of his job, which we don't know what it was. So even yeah. that didn't clear anything up.
No.
Yeah, it was. That was just a weird scene.
Yeah.
It was an attempt at, yeah, for sure, trying to do a commentary, but just, like, missing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so when they get to their hotel, they catch Anthony having an affair with Renee. In the next room, Anthony's son, AJ, is sleeping with Gia, his younger brother, Jesse's new fiance. Anthony suffers a heart attack and is rushed to the hospital. He's later pronounced dead.
When they're at the hospital and the doctor's just like, who's Anthony's wife? And she's like, I am. And he's like, he's dead. He didn't make it through. I was like, your bedside manner.
I do like that Medea commented on that. It's like, a nurse is just going to walk away. You know, she's not going to ask for your insurance or anything. How much? She's going to, that's it.
That was
because it truly was. Uh-huh. I'm so sorry. Walked away.
But
he's dead. He didn't make it.
That woman said her scripted line. And then in the moment, Tyler Perry's like, ah, shit, that's not how that happens. Also, mm-hmm. they were not in a hospital waiting room. They were definitely at the Delta Lounge. Like, they weren't. Like, I've never seen chairs like that at a hospital.
Also, the order of operations was very confusing. So, like, just Medea and Joe and Brian were at the hospital, but the rest of the family, where were they? It took them a while to get to the hospital? Why weren't they all there together? They all walked out the door together.
Like, okay, so AJ is having an affair with Gia, okay? And then he goes over to the room, finds out that it's Renee, but like mainly is just mad at Renee in that interaction, even though the dad is like dying, because I guess he's not dead.
Gia was like, I'm going to leave if you go over there. I was like, why are you leaving? Maybe it's because she didn't want the dad to know that. Also, there's only one hotel in town. What a coincidence.
And then Brian walks in.
Yes, and they're right. They're sharing a wall. Huh.
Crazy.
And then when Brian comes in, he's like, hello, AJ. What are you doing here? Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah,
so
it was so
oblivious.
Wild. He was a different Brian than every other movie.
I know.
Well, it seems who knows? I don't know how much Tyler Perry puts into every character, but it seems like Brian was a last thought. Like, a lot of character work was done for Medea and Joe.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit for Heathrow, but not a lot. And then for Brian, I feel like he's just like, he's the straight man. But that doesn't mean that person can't have a personality or
history. Totally. But I feel like in other movies, Brian was almost attractive. Like, he was almost like cool, easygoing kind of
reason. Quips back to Medea. Yeah. This one, he was just like a bucket of Jello.
Oh, yeah. He was
it was
nothing.
Weird.
So AJ, Medea, Joe, Aunt Bam, and Hattie keep the exact cause of death from the rest of the family. Renee and AJ blackmail each other to keep their secrets hidden, and AJ blames Renee for his father's affair and death.
There's no way this movie should have been 2 hours long because they kept that somehow kept this secret for an hour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but the family absolutely would ask more questions. They asked some questions and then they would get brushed off. But it's like, no, you would actually want to know why was my husband at a hotel? How did he die? How did you even find him? Like, they were okay with these unanswered questions all the way to the funeral?
And that was the most torturous part of it, was them hiding this fact from the mom and what, and from, and then hiding the Renee from everyone else. Like, it was like getting annoying because truly, like, we know that they shouldn't know, but I'd almost rather see what happens once they find out, because it's like, that's more exciting than just keeping a secret for a long time. When also it's so obvious that AJ is mad at Renee and being like a complete asshole to her every time he sees her. And then someone's like, what's up with that? And then he was like, nothing. And it's like, okay. Like, I think I'd probably keep asking questions at that point too. Like, why are you cornering her and like yelling at her?
Yeah. I feel like 45 minutes of this movie, nothing happens. It's just a lot of fucking nothing.
So Vian asks Medea to play Anthony's funeral, or to plan, sorry. I was like, wait, she's gonna play it. To plan Anthony's funeral, and says she wants to have it in 2 days, which makes everyone suspicious, because everyone's like, a wedding shouldn't happen this quickly. I mean, no, I'm sorry, a funeral shouldn't happen this quickly. Why is she so quick to bury him? The Undertaker at the funeral gives Medea, Aunt Bam, and Hattie a creepy vibe and informs them that Anthony died smiling, and that the casket can't close because of Anthony's erection. Now, also, he had a gag in his mouth, so he probably wasn't smiling. Now,
that's a great point. That is a good point. Well, maybe like, they took the gag out and it was a smile, but I don't see that smiling so around hard. The gag.
That's like a horror movie. At the funeral, numerous mistresses from Anthony's past, like a thousand, from Anthony's past show up, which upsets Vian, and the service lasts for hours until the casket abruptly opens due to the penis popping it open.
Which is so crazy. And I understand that rigor mortis is a thing, but I don't think it affects your dick like that. And I don't think it like goes up and down.
The funeral guy was like, he took a pill in his penis. Erect, or he was like, the guy was creepy, but I was like, he could have even been creepier. Like, he was just like a little weird, but I was like, this is an opportunity. But then it feels like only Tyler Perry gets to do stuff that's that crazy.
Yeah, he'd be too weird.
Yes. Yeah. It is interesting that Tyler Perry lets very few people in his movies be as strange as him. We have, what's his name? Clara, what's her name? Is her name Clara? Clara's dad.
What, Mr. Brown?
Mr. Brown gets to be weird. Aunt Bam, Hattie, and like, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also had a ton of like internet comedians in that funeral scene, like Joanne the Scammer, Charlene. I can't remember his name, but he does like a lot of gospel choir videos in the choir.
Charlene was the lady in all black who like has a whole scene. Yeah, okay. She's very funny.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. But like, I was expecting each of them to get a moment, but they kind of really didn't. And it was like, which is like, you know, that is still nice that Tyler is putting them on to like put them on a big screen like that. But I was like expecting them to each do their thing.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like they just said Joanne the Scammer and then like that was it. Like I rewound it to be like, oh, okay. So yes, that's all it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be, that's like exactly what you'd expect. Like there would be a reason for all of them to be cast, not just like, but maybe he did. And he was like, honestly, it's going to be 3 hours if I let them do this. And have so many jokes that I need to get in there.
But it's like, just cut the improv with yourself. It's so wild that Tyler Perry is just literally talking to stand-ins and then being like, all right, move.
That's why it's so not great in so many moments, though, when it's just him talking to himself like for a long time. Because there's nobody throwing in anything different. Like it's just his perspective kind of in a different wig over and over again. And then like it doesn't build because he's improvising probably with someone who's not prepared to improvise. So like there's no like joke coming back. And then so he's writing already in his head what he's going to say back. But then, you know what I mean? Like it's not fluid.
Boy.
I wonder what the order is too. Cause like, what if you think of something as Medea, but you've already changed your makeup and hair to be Heathrow. Do you go back as Medea and do a pickup, or do you just move on?
I wonder. Like, I highly doubt it based on how fast we know everything is made. Like, it's just, there's no time.
In the bloopers, there was something that surprised me. So one of the men walks in with suitcases, but his arms are flexed. And
I thought that was so funny.
Kind of as Medea is like, hold it by your side. Hold it like a normal person. All right, let's try it again. He got three chances to get it right. And I was like, so that's what you take your time on.
And it felt like such a
You look too muscly.
It felt like such a man's problem to be like almost like jealous of this other man who comes in with these bubbling muscles.
That's what it read as.
Fully were showing through every shirt he had.
But that's like his body. He can't help it.
It is. He's ripped.
He's like, that's what my arm looks like when I hold a suitcase.
He comes in and he's holding the suitcases like up by his sides, and he's clearly flexing. Mm-hmm. And then Medea is like mad and jealous and makes him do it a bunch of times. And yeah, he never is able to put them down. His arms like cannot do that.
Yeah, they're actually like still up. He's like, I am trying to lower them, but my muscles are too thick. Oh, also in that funeral scene with one of the mistresses, the tattoo that said Anthony's chick. Did you clock that?
I didn't see that.
The girl with the pink hair.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was the one who Uncle Joe's hitting on?
Joe's hitting on. She passes him, and under her shirt is a tattoo that says Anthony's chick in the worst, gross, like, graffiti lettering I've ever seen. No one would get that tattoo. But I guess that was just, like, one of his hoes, and she loved him so much she got a tattoo.
And why is everyone so obsessed with Anthony? Like, I feel like we could have used a scene of getting to know him besides like, hello, I'm here for the party. Goodbye. Like, we didn't get anything out of him. And yet he has 50 mistresses. Like, Medea's like, she's like, if you know Anthony as a friend, go to that side. Mm-hmm. And then like all the women stand up and he's like, and if you know Anthony biblically or like whatever, like, raise your hand. And then everyone's raising their hand, and no one has a problem with the fact that they are one of 50. Like, women are just like me, and like, they don't care. They don't look around. They don't care that there's like a million.
Also, how'd they get an invite? Who invited them to this funeral?
You know, Tyler Perry didn't think about the logic. He said, wouldn't it be funny if all the mistresses showed up here?
And it was.
It was.
So after the funeral, AJ drunkenly reveals Anthony and Renee's affair. Renee exposes AJ's affair with Gia. After finding out, Carol decides to finally leave AJ. Jesse and AJ fight. Vivian tearfully reveals that Anthony has been cheating on her for years, and she only stayed with him to protect her family. She realizes she needed to start living for herself. When AJ scolds her for being weak, she retaliates by saying he's spiteful and immature. This scene was long.
This was dramatic.
It was a lot of talking like this, and you'll never understand what a woman goes through for her family.
Did love Vian's speech, and I was mad that she didn't get an opportunity to say anything throughout the film. She had 5 lines until that speech. Most of her stuff was just reacting to other people or just like, yes, thank you for the prayers. Can you take the suit to the funeral? Okay, goodbye. And then this epic speech where I was like, which I think a lot of women her age probably feel. Like, you get married, you need support to take care of your kids, but like, you're just going to turn a blind eye because you need to keep your family together. I was like, I love hearing this perspective. This is amazing. And I love that she's like, I'm not weak. I'm strong because I kept this family together. I kept food on the table and I kept you guys housed. That's what I did. That's the sacrifice I made. And now I'm living for my life. And I was like, I love this. Why couldn't she speak more throughout this movie?
I know. Like, we didn't get to know her personality at all. And that was like, it felt like a play. Like that felt like a really nice, like dramatic monologue from a play. She goes on for like 5 solid minutes.
I mean, very long time.
Like, she is not interrupted. She's speaking on this subject.
Yeah, nobody even tries to interrupt her. They're like, this is her monologue time. Mom has never spoken before. Wow.
And they're all like, he did what? Like, they can't. And I feel like AJ, this is like so Tyler Perry to have AJ, who is also cheating, be the one who tells a secret, because he loves to have someone go, I know your secret too. And then they expose each other.
Yeah.
So that was kind of insane. And then AJ's like still on his high horse, even though he's clearly like also very wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when she scolds him, he's like, that's when his reaction is like so over the top. Like he's like feeling like I feel like he was gonna like take off. Like he was just like standing there, like moving, but not saying anything. Like it was just wild. So, yeah. Okay. The next morning, AJ tries to apologize and reconcile with Carol, who, by the way, like Carol, I feel like I didn't catch like at all, like throughout the movie.
Yeah. Like who cares about Carol? Like when they were having that conversation, I was like, oh yeah, her feelings are hurt.
And then what is also so crazy, so okay, I'll just read this. He wants to reconcile for all the pain he caused her. He tells her he's hoping they can get back together. She declines and tells him she wants to live freely. While this is happening, it's like Medea is predicting what AJ is going to say to Carol. And he says it in time with Medea. And it's like, there's no, you basically get no redemption for that character because it's like an improv game. Like he's like, now he's going to say, I love you. Now he's going to say, I want to take you back. And then Medea's like, how many times do you think we've heard all this stuff before? And I was like, whose side are we on? Like, do we care that AJ reconciles with Carol, or is he like a villain now?
I did think it was funny. It did make me laugh, the repeating and saying at the same time. Someone should have called Medea out and been like, shut up.
They're on the couch right there. They can hear you.
Also, why would they have this conversation right in front of Medea? What's his name? AJ comes downstairs and then Medea's like threatens to hit him or something. And he's like, yeah, this is a perfect time for me to really have a heartfelt moment with my wife right now. Like in front of all these people.
And try to fix everything. She's about to leave him.
Yeah.
It's like the stakes are high.
And then Medea, what she's saying is flip-flopping back and forth. Like she's telling Carol, like, well, some people leave their spouses too quick just because they cheated and you need to take time. And then while they're talking, she's like, now you need to go and have time for yourself because he needs to grow up and da-da-da-da-da. And you need to go to couples counseling. And you need to be by yourself. So it's like, what is it?
Well, that's Medea. Medea likes to be like, here's what you need to do. But also, I don't know. I'm Medea.
Medea's like the biggest train wreck. Like the idea that anyone would listen to Medea, who drives her car into a fucking burger restaurant and gets no consequences.
Drops a car with a forklift. Medea's a mess. Somebody should put a reel together of Medea's greatest moments of being a lunatic.
That's all I want.
This full cartoon character.
The movie ends with Vianne saying, I'm going to go live for myself. Wild. And she wishes the family luck as she leaves for Las Vegas with Roy, who is Mike Tyson.
Who just comes out of nowhere. Tyson. And I was like, oh, is Mike Tyson, are we good with him again? I don't know. Isn't he still bad?
Wait.
Yeah, 28. Well, where are we now? What happened? Because he was in The Hangover, which I feel like was like a huge comeback for him, but that was probably like 20 years ago now. I have no sense of time.
Isn't he bad?
Yeah,
that
was like early 2000s.
Did he do something?
Is he bad? I don't really know anything.
I can make up stuff, I guess.
I can make up stuff.
I thought he was generally beloved.
But I feel like he, let's see, Mike Tyson criminal.
Nicole, while you look that up, I just looked at the trivia. Guess how long, okay, I'm going to say it's this year. Guess how long it took to make this movie?
2 weeks.
Less than a week.
No fucking way. That's insane.
I mean, we're going to, like, the last episode, we're going to watch something and be like, Tyler Perry made this in 45 minutes and made $10 billion.
Less than a week. I mean, amazing. I can't do anything in that amount of time. I'm truly stunned. And
That's a long movie.
We always talk about Acrimony was shot in 8 days. Now, this one is less than a week.
Less than a week.
I don't even know why you would want to do that. Like, that's just too much.
Because I guess you don't have to pay for the equipment. You don't have to pay for people's time for.
But he's a billionaire.
I know.
Yes.
Money is literally no object. So, like, if you just go, we can fund this with what. And also, I'm sure he's funded by studios for all these. Oh, no, he does his own studio. But I mean,
this was with Lionsgate, I believe.
Oh, okay. So there's money for the movie. And like, what? Like to be in this and be done in a week is just like beyond me. I've had like 3 lines in a movie and worked 10 days.
Yeah, I've done truly. Yeah, I mean, same. I've had like 2 lines in something. I'm like, oh, you guys need me for 17 days? Great.
Yeah.
I have it blocked off. So in 1992, Mike Tyson was convicted of rape.
Oh.
And was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
But it seems like people forgot about it after that because.
Seems like it.
Yeah, he definitely more like he's had that actually a hangover thing. Yeah. He had like a pigeon show.
What?
What's that?
He had a show about pigeons.
He did?
In what was like, sense?
Like training them? Like training pigeons.
What?
This is real.
It is real. I was like, I think you're crazy. But there's a picture of him in a wig and holding a pigeon, kissing it. Wait, is his tongue out? I don't know. So Mike Tyson, he's a former heavyweight champion, baddest man on the planet. He's also a noted pigeon enthusiast.
What?
Who's a pigeon enthusiast? Pigeons are the worst.
Mike Tyson. How
he
wild.
He kept 350 pigeons?
He what?
He kept 350 pigeons.
That's why? Disgusting.
This is wild.
I don't understand.
Well, I guess if you get hit enough, you will do something weird like love a pigeon.
Okay, and he's also in a 2021.
I think his brain's
probably bad. He's in a 2021 Mike's Hard Lemonade ad as well.
So he's still driving.
So he's doing great. He's doing really great.
But so he went to jail for 6 years.
But he was let out after 3.
Interesting.
But yeah, when you first Google Mike Tyson, it doesn't come up. I had to Google Mike Tyson criminal.
Mike Tyson, what'd he do?
What's
there's
got to
be something
doing?
There, right? Okay, so Madea Family Funeral is the 11th and last film in the Madea film franchise. And it's the first appearance of Heathrow.
Why introduce a new person in the last in the last installment of this series?
Because that's Tyler Perry. He leaves you wanting more.
That's so funny.
Also, I actually remember like, when this movie came out and the advertising for it looked like Madea was gonna die. I remember like there would be like a picture
I
of a
thought
coffin.
That it might be.
It's the final one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my god, he's gonna kill Madea. But he did not.
That
but
would have been so much more Madea. Interesting, though, because we know he killed off someone we didn't get to know at all.
Yeah. Madea's got to die eventually.
I don't think so.
If you had Madea's funeral and, like, then people were speaking about Madea and then Madea, like, popped about the casket to say something, you know, that could
what
be
a
really
treat
crazy.
That would be.
That would have been great.
To go through, like, 45 minutes to an hour of no Madea and people mourning Madea, then Madea being like, good afternoon, she here. I would love it.
I just want to see what you had to say.
Boy, I didn't love this movie, but I did love Madea. I always love Madea. Also, Madea had a different makeup artist this movie because it was not okay. She looked pretty rough. They weren't lighting her well. But then again, now I know they had less than 7 days to shoot this 2-hour movie.
I also noticed during the credits, there was like 16 hairstylists. I don't know if you noticed that. If it was a hairstylist and then like so many names. And I was like, I'm sure. I guess if you're not stopping, you need people to run in and touch up every single person.
Right. Like I can imagine each person had their own just so that it would be fast.
Mm-hmm,
you don't have to wait for anyone to get ready. But like we've talked about this before that like oftentimes the hair and makeup is not great. And it's like he's moving so fast that not everyone can do like no one can do their job to the height of their ability. So you just have like, I mean, even Madea not having her makeup done, it's like, well, she probably was Heathrow 1 second before. And then they were like, slap lipstick on Heathrow, unblack the teeth, and let's go.
I mean, you are right. And then there was one point where Joe had his dentures in his mouth, and then Tyler was having trouble with the block out of his teeth, and that made me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the blooper where he's like, the dentures were popping out.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
So
I enjoyed the bloopers.
The bloopers were fun. This film was nominated for 7 Razzie Awards, including Worst Picture, Worst Supporting Actor, Worst Screen Combo, Perry, 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 and Perry.
That's just mean.
That's really funny.
That's really funny. Worst Screenplay and Worst Prequel, Remake, or Ripoff.
Oh, my God. Well, the film currently has 11% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with a critic from Rolling Stone writing, "It's lights out for Madea as Tyler Perry ends the drag reign of his most beloved comic creation. This is the 11th and final film in the Madea franchise, and it's a slack, formless, monotonous mess. And yet Madea still gets in her licks. Your call."
Oh my God. Your audiences, call. This is different than most of the things that we learn. Audiences did not like this film for the most part. It has a Rotten Tomatoes audience score of 30%. Its budget was $20 million, but it did gross $73.3 million domestically. So, I mean, people didn't like it, but they went,
people went to see it.
But they did support it, yes.
I mean, this one makes sense that the audience didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we've been pretty, you know, keeping into the same opinion of the audience most of the time with the ratings. Like, we're like, even if it's poorly rated, we're like, this one was really fun and I don't care that it was, you know, technically bad. But this one just, it was boring. I mean, and also, like, to have it be done in a week, like, this is the problem. It's like, wait, do it for a month and see how it could be. I feel like it'd be so much better.
Yeah.
You'd actually get to, like, work on each scene until it made sense.
But Tyler has, like, weird flexes where he's like, look at this. I'm the only writer in this writer's room. And it's like, no, that's not good. Or like, look, I filmed this in a week. Also not good. Like, I don't know why you think this is impressive. It's not a race. It's not just like who can do it with the least amount of people. We would like you to actually create a thing.
Yeah. If he could shoot a movie a week for that's 52 movies. That's money. Like,
and
I
they
guess
are
it's
making
like
money.
A
so.
Flex, yes. Because it's like, I did this in a week and I made $72 million. How many of you people can make $72 million in a week?
I mean,
that's a good point.
The answer is truly nobody. In that aspect, I truly revere him for that. But then it's just like, I agree with you, Lauren. If he just took a month, 2 months to shoot these movies, they might be like genuinely like great. And he might cross over to like a different audience.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Because I think like some of them we liked a lot where I feel like they could be like those movies that you rewatch over and over again that are just like kind of in that sort of pantheon of like fun comedies or, but the thing is he also doesn't fit into a genre, but that doesn't really matter. But like when you, the idea of watching them again doesn't really appeal to me because I'm like, it's half the fun of it is the surprise and like disbelief by like every scene, like how it's happening and how it's unfolding. And like, if I already know, then I mean, I'm not really as interested. Plus, they're all way too long.
They're so long. But I feel like Diary of a Mad Black Woman, not to keep bringing that up, I feel like that was like an hour and a half.
That was the best one still.
I think so. I think. That but and also, was it Madea's family reunion where I was like sobbing at that funeral scene?
Yeah, the funeral was really good. It was. That was really emotional. Aww. But I don't know. They that was a good one. That was the one too where they were like the family secrets that came out were really dramatic. Yes. And I think it was only Madea, not really other Tyler Perry characters. And
yeah, I don't think Joe is in it. I think we don't like Joe.
I don't like Joe.
I think
Joe.
We like when Tyler Perry is Madea and then we get a little bit of Brian and then that's it.
Joe doesn't bring much to the scene. Yeah.
Joe
he's just
is
weird.
Creepy. He just like smokes weed and wants to like hit on people. Like there was a dead man on the ground, a lady dressed in bondage, and he's like, I like her. And it's like, let me read the room, sir. There's someone dead.
Someone is dead.
You know what? Because it feels like what in that moment, you're like, okay, so Tyler Perry took a moment to put on each costume and have his reactions. So you just go, what would Joe say? And it's like, 10 minutes of him just improvising as Joe about how he wants to fuck that woman, even though it's totally inappropriate. Like, because you don't have a script or people playing off of him, playing himself, you never ground any of them enough, which would make it funnier, like to be able to ground them and then build from there. But you just basically go like, he's kind of one note.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, our opinions don't matter. Also, I'm available for a week to shoot a full-length movie with Tyler Perry, if you're listening.
Honestly, the schedule sounds amazing for life, you know, purposes. You can just fly and go do this and then go back to whatever you were doing.
It's like, what did you do? Oh, I had a lunch break and flew to Atlanta and fucking shot a whole-ass movie and flew right back.
And you only have 5 lines and 1 monologue, and you'll be out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that one was a bust.
Yeah. We've come to the end. Sashir, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I'm on a plur. Yes, I do.
Good afternoon. Would you like to
thank you? I'm on Home Economics on ABC. All the episodes air, so now they're on Hulu.
Ooh,
and yeah. I'm also on a show called Woke. We're about to shoot the second season soon, but you can catch up on the first season, which is also on Hulu. And Best Friends Podcast, of course, with my friend Nicole Byer.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
And all my social media is at The Sheer Truth. And that's it.
Thank you so much for being here. I love Woke, by the way. It's so good.
Oh, thanks.
I'm excited for the second season.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I do feel like we missed an opportunity to call the Plurg segment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because now it's time to plurg. Five hallelujahs, which everyone, you know, loves when I say, and they think it's so good.
It's my favorite thing. I love it so much.
So here's one of our five-star reviews from Han Solo Needed a Lawyer. What a dang treat. I binged this entire show in a month. I feel a bit crazy, but I do not care. I love Nicole and Lauren so much. They are national treasures. Love the real MCU so much. Listening to Lauren say hallelujah makes me cackle every time. Oh, thanks. My suggestion, do 10 episodes of a different series, come back and do more Tyler Perry. Would love to hear you watch The Fast and the Furious, even if you've already seen it. Thank you for everything. Oh, that's a good idea.
I mean, I've seen all. I love Fast and Furious franchise.
I've never seen any of them.
Lauren,
I mean, that could be
a good
that's
idea.
An interesting angle if one of us has seen something and the other one hasn't.
Okay, because I have no bad opinions about it.
I'm
perfect.
Open to that.
I love it. I took Sashir to see Hobbs and Shaw. She did not want to see it. And then as we walked out of the movie, Sashir went, "That was fun as hell," in a way that I've never seen a person get excited about a movie.
I wow. loved it. I had so much fun. I've also seen zero Fast and Furious movies. Yeah, and I was like, do I need to know any background? She's like, no. And I didn't need to know any background. I still had a great time.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm open to that. I have no opinion on those movies. I've just avoided them because they're about cars.
Honestly, Lauren... It's not about cars. It is about family.
Family.
Vin Diesel's character, Dom, he is just a very family-focused person. and that's what's important. And then
And there's a new one coming out, and Helen Mirren's in it looking badass as hell.
Uh-huh. And my friend John Cena's in it. My best friend John Cena.
Yes.
And they were rumored to make a lady spinoff, and I was like, I need them to do it. As soon as it's like a go and it's like officially announced, I'm gonna like tell my reps to be like, they need a comedic relief. They need a Ludacris. Let me be Ludacris.
Get in there.
Oh my god, that'd be so good.
Imagine like having a car real fast being like beep bop boop boop.
You already do that.
I do. I love driving fast.
Guys, thank you so much for those reviews. Please write more reviews. We will read one on the next episode as well. Of course, it's got to be 5 stars if you want us to read it. And we'll be back next week with another one of Tyler Perry's works. We will see you then. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.